If someone was to stop you on the street today and ask you, what is the most important event that will happen today? What would you say? Would you say that some little groundhog named Phil saw his shadow? Or maybe you would talk about the Super Bowl and how Peyton Manning and the Broncos are going to win. But hopefully not. I mean, hopefully you wouldn't talk about that. Hopefully you would say the most important event that happens to you today is the fact that we are celebrating the presentation of Jesus in the temple. And what is this presentation of Jesus in the temple? We know that it happened 40 days after his birth. And after these 40 days, the time of purification, the parents of a child would bring their child up to the temple. And there were two offerings that Mary and Joseph had to offer in the temple for their son Jesus. The first offering was each and every child, either male or female, had to be presented into the temple as a sin offering to God, an offering of thanksgiving. The Jewish people believed in the concept of original sin, and to offer their child to God as a way to purify themselves and the child from original sin. It's quite striking that Mary, the sinless mother of God, and her son, a sinless one, subjected themselves to the law. In humility, they offered Jesus to God. So the first offering was all children had to be offered to God. The second offering was what the law prescribed of Moses, that each and every male that opens the womb had to be dedicated, had to be consecrated to God in the temple, whether that was a beast, an animal, or the firstborn male. So if you had a bull or a lamb, you would offer the firstborn male of your herd to the priest in the temple. And the priest would slaughter it and get to keep that meat for himself. So Father Saunders and I were looking for some filet mignon today. But Jesus, of course, would not be slaughtered in the temple. He would have to wait 33 years until he was slaughtered on Mount Calvary. So Jesus, in order to be presented in the temple as the firstborn male, had to be redeemed. And we know redemption means to be bought back. And what was the price to buy back the Savior of the world? 5 shekels. In the conversion today, 5 shekels is equal to $1.43. Think about the contrast. Our Savior of the world cost $1.43, but a 30-second ad for a commercial today on the Super Bowl is $4 million. $1.43. Mary and Joseph had to redeem the Redeemer of the world. Jesus Christ was presented in the temple on earth so that you and I, someday, God willing, could be presented in the temple of heaven. And in the words of the prophet Simeon, he knew that he would see the Messiah before he died. And he says that there's basically three things that this Messiah will fulfill. And the first thing, he says that Jesus will be a light to the nations. We know that the world is full of darkness, full of sin. But Jesus was the light that shone in the darkness. He came to the people who sat in darkness, as we read in last week's gospel. He comes today to shine in the darkness of our own culture. Now, in Jewish times, the temple was considered a light to the nations. The temple sat on top of a hill, and it was so bright with all the gold and the jewels around it. And when the feast of Hanukkah came about, when they lit all the menorahs, the light, it gleamed upon the temple. Later on in Jesus' ministry, in the Gospel of John, when Jesus goes up to the temple on the great feast of lights, the feast of Hanukkah, he says to the people, "I am the light of the world. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Jesus is the light to all nations, not only to the Jewish people. But he didn't stop there. He told his disciples on the Sea of Galilee, "You are the light of the world." And he tells us that today too. Each and every one of us at our baptism received the candle. We received the light of Christ. And you and I are to be a light to Christ to a culture of darkness, a culture that does not know him. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. Secondly, Simeon had prophesied that Jesus was to be the glory of Israel. And what was the glory of Israel? The glory of Israel was found in the Ark of the Covenant. When the Hebrew people, they brought the Ark out of the desert into the Promised Land. And the Ark, it contained the Ten Commandments, the staff of Aaron, and the bread that fed them in the desert. And the glory of God was with the Israelites in the temple with the Ark of the Covenant. However, their neighbors, when they were at war with the Philistines came in and they desecrated the temple and they took the Ark of the Covenant. And the Jewish people, they realized that the glory of God had left them. But the great prophets, like Isaiah, he prophesied that the glory of Israel will return. And the prophet Ezekiel says, "The glory of Israel is one who looks like the Son of Man." Jesus Christ is the glory of God. God wishes to reveal his glory to the world. That's why he made the earth. That's why he made you and I. And Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the glory of God. But you and I, because we are confirmed, because of the sacrament of confirmation, you and I are also the glory of God. We are given the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when we use those gifts, we become fully alive. St. Irenaeus, the second century church father, he once said, "The glory of God is man fully alive." So you and I are to reveal the glory of God to the people who seek glory in the material things of this earth. When we become fully alive, we will reveal the glory of God. And finally, Simeon had prophesied that Jesus will be a sign of contradiction. And what is that sign? The sign of the cross. And if you could read the back of this cross up here, it says, "In this sign, you will conquer." The cross of Jesus Christ is still a contradiction today. Some people may scoff at you because you're sitting at Mass on Sunday morning at 7:30, that you have come to dedicate yourself today to God, that you, despite what other people or what other cultures say, you come here to worship him. And that is a sign of contradiction. How do you worship God on the holy days? How do you live your life in the workplace? How do you live your life in your neighborhood? We too are signs of contradiction to a world that does not know him. And that sign of contradiction is carried out in the world through many martyrs. It is estimated that there's over 100,000 Christian martyrs each and every year. Each and every year, 100,000 martyrs. That's one martyr for every 11 minutes. We know that Christ is still controversial. The cross still exists with Christianity. No one is ever martyred for following Moses, or no one is martyred for following Muhammad or Buddha. But today, Christianity, martyrs exist. And a sword of sorrow still pierces the heart of our Blessed Mother. But we have hope. And the sign of the cross gives us hope through the sacrament of the Eucharist. The Eucharist is still a sign of contradiction, that Jesus Christ not only loved us on the cross and gave us his flesh then, but he gives us his flesh today. And that sign that we call the sacrament of the Eucharist is a sign of contradiction that many Christians that are Protestant do not believe in the presence of Jesus at the altar. But you and I, we come here today as a sign of contradiction, as the glory of God the Father and the light to all nations. Because we know that today Jesus was presented in the temple, and hopefully one day we will be presented in the temple of heaven.